You to bow your heads and pray with me. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your beautiful plan of salvation. God, you are a God who is faithful to a wayward people, and we are a part of that story. But God, you are gracious, you are merciful, you are kind to us, and we know this because you came for us. Lord Jesus, you died for us. You rose again from the grave to redeem us. And Lord, you give us life by your Spirit. And so we ask that you would continue that story in our midst here this evening. In this season of Easter, God, we declare that Jesus is our hope. That's why we're here. We're so thankful for your mercy, which is on display here tonight. Be with us now as we reflect upon this wonderful, wonderful resurrection. It's in your name, Jesus, that we pray. Amen. Amen.
Now, it is just past 10 o'clock right now, and I'm going for about midnight with this sermon. All right? Deal? Sorry, that's the only joke. That's the only joke. There's no more jokes, okay? A few nights ago at the Last Supper, just a few nights ago, Thursday night, we remembered the story of a dispute arising among the disciples about which one of the disciples was the greatest. They had just taken this Last Supper with their Lord, and they were fighting and bickering about who was the greatest among them. Now, I want to seriously consider that question just a little bit here this evening. I want to briefly throw in two names into that Last Supper battle royale for who is the greatest disciple. The first one that I'm going to put before you here this evening is John Chrysostom. John Chrysostom, why do I love John Chrysostom so much? There are a lot of reasons why I love him, but he is a man after my own heart, even though, kids, he was born 1,700 years ago. He's pretty old, okay? So I've never met this guy, but here's a little snippet of why I love John Chrysostom. He wrote this: "Nothing is as useless for the church as this inactivity and detachment, which other people regard as a form of self-discipline, but which I have more as a veil for my own worthlessness, using it to cloak most of my failings and keep them from becoming obvious." This is why he became a monastic. Everyone thought he was holy, and he was just using as a cloak for his inactivity and his feelings of worthlessness. I love John Chrysostom because he is a humble man. That's one of the reasons why I love him so much. He reminds me of St. Paul, who said that I am the least of the apostles, or St. Clive, or many others who recognize that to be great, you had to be the least, just like our Lord. So that's one reason why I love St. John Chrysostom. Another saint that I want to put before you tonight, and more seriously, and I invite your prayers for this saint. The second, who I think is probably one of the greatest disciples that I've personally met, is Father David George. Father David George, many of you know him. He made this cross. He made this cross that we see and we see processed in and out. I know Father David George really well. Many of you know him. After a lifetime full-time priestly ministry, he devoted himself to the service of Christ Church in Winston-Salem, North Carolina, where I met him for the first time as a retired priest, still serving, still caring for his grandson as if he was his father. He cared for many as a father, including his own father. And it was a very difficult season of life. When I was around him, he cared for his beautiful and loving wife, Sarah. And God blessed me to serve with Father David for several years in Winston-Salem. And his father died not long after I moved here to West Virginia. And immediately after his father died, Father David was diagnosed with a very aggressive cancer. He had been He had been struggling. That had been a hardship for him, caring for his elderly father. And immediately he was battling a very serious cancer. He has been fighting this cancer distant from me. He's been fighting with very, very painful treatments, fighting in prayer. And I've read many of his prayers, and I've talked to him many times, and it's humbled me. Just a few months ago, after receiving some pretty bad news about his cancer, his daughter, who is a mother of three teenagers, was killed tragically in a car accident. And today, he can barely walk. And he can't walk. If he does walk, it's with a lot of excruciating physical pain because his bones are so thin. Father David has received all this from the hand of God, and he's been confessing God's faithfulness, and he's been saying over and over and over again, I'm not afraid of death because of the resurrection of Jesus. Father David George is a great man because he daily confesses that Christ, who is the conqueror of death, that he is the greatest. Father David has made no claims to greatness, and this is why I think he's great. I love Father David. I'm pretty sure that the first time I encountered John Chrysostom was at the Easter Vigil almost 10 years ago, when Father David preached the homily that I'm about to preach before us here this evening. Here's the question that this night and this homily answers. Do you want to have hope in life and when death stares you in the face? Do you want to have hope? With John and with Father David, we're going to proclaim the resurrection until Christ comes again, and that's what I want to do here this evening. And I'm going to actually preach this. I preached this one time before, a couple of years ago, but I'm going to preach it how Father David preached it. I still vividly remember it, and you guys have to help me, okay? So we're going to practice now. We're going to practice now, and right at the end of this homily, you guys get to yell in the sermon, okay? And this is how I heard John Chrysostom for the first time through the lips of Saint Father David. I'm going to, at the end of this sermon, a couple of times in quick succession, I'm going to say the words, Christ is risen, very loudly. And I want you to echo what I say. So I'm going to say, Christ is risen.
Christ is risen.
All right. Christ is risen.
Christ is risen.
All right, you guys are ready to preach the resurrection with me and with Father David and with John Chrysostom. Hear this homily. It is good news for our souls. Let all pious men and all lovers of God rejoice in the splendor of this feast. Let the wise servants blissfully enter into the joy of their Lord. Let those who have borne the burden of Lent now receive their pay. And those who have toiled since the first hour, let them now receive their due reward. Let any who came after the third hour be grateful to join in the feast. And those who may have come after the sixth hour, let them not be afraid of being too late. For the Lord is gracious, and he receives the last even as the first. He gives rest to him who comes at the 11th hour, as well as to him who has toiled since the first. Yes, he has pity on the last, and he serves the first. He rewards the one and praises the effort. Come, you all. Enter into the joy of your Lord. You the first and you the last, receive alike your reward. You rich and you poor, dance together. You sober and you weaklings, celebrate the day. You who have kept the fast and you who have not, rejoice. Rejoice today. The table is richly loaded. Enjoy its royal banquet. The calf is a fatted one. Let no one go away hungry. All of you enjoy the banquet of faith. All of you receive the riches of his goodness. Let no one grieve over his poverty, for the universal kingdom has been revealed. Let no one weep over his sins, for pardon has shone from the grave. Let no one fear death, for the death of our Savior has set us free. He has destroyed death by enduring it. He has despoiled hell by going down into its kingdom. He has angered it by allowing it to taste of his flesh. When Isaiah foresaw all this, he cried out, "O hell, you have been angered by encountering him in the nether world. Hell is angered because frustrated. Hell is angered because it has been mocked. Hell is angered because it has been destroyed. Hell is angered because it has been reduced to naught. Hell is angered because it is now captive. Hell seized a body, and lo, it encountered heaven. Hell seized the visible and was overcome by the invisible God. O death, where is your sting? O hell, where is your victory?" Here's the answer. Christ is risen. And you are abolished. Christ is risen. And the demons are cast down. Christ is risen. And the angels rejoice. Christ is risen. And life is freed. Christ is risen. And the tomb is emptied of the dead. For Christ, being risen from the dead, has become the leader and the reviver of those who had fallen asleep. To him be glory and power forever and ever. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.